been going to visit with a man about once a month for the last few months. He wasn't doing well. By the time I got to him, cognitively, he was shot. He would keep down and keep quiet long enough for me to share some scripture and pray. That was about it. I really didn't know where he stood with the Lord. So I go to the funeral on Monday. I found out that he made a profession of faith about 4 years ago. So that tickled me right there. And that was good enough at that point after it went on home. So at the end of the funeral, the preacher gets down preaching. And so he offers an invitation. And I saw something I never saw before. And about over 20 people come up to the front all at one time and profess Christ as Lord. And the funeral director standing next to me, and he's a believer too. He goes, "Did I just see what I thought I saw?" I said, "Oh yeah, you saw what you thought you saw." I said, "That's the Lord right there. The Lord is still doing the same things that he has done in the past. He has not lost any power. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or even think." And I thank him for that.
Amen.
2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1. And we'll stop probably at 12. I'll keep your Bible open. 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 1 tells us, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together, and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I will do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. As I began to read this scripture, it's not that you read scripture for a first time. You know it's there. But as I reread this scripture about a month ago, this has been one of those that kind of like for Exodus 19 with Pastor, has kind of been with me for about a month. And I began to think about the way that Elijah and Elisha were, the relationship that they had. And there's a word that came to my mind, and it was the idea of 3D. And it's an odd word to think about when talking about people, but the word 3D came to my mind. And it's something that we're hearing about now, technology, everything being 3D. And so we think of it as a new technology. But I did some research on it, and it's something that's actually been around for 100 years. And I remember when I was a kid, and before that, they had the 3D glasses. And that was all we thought 3D was for a long period of time. It was them paper white glasses with a red eye and a blue eye. But now it's expanded to that concept.
And as I began to look at what the goal of 3D is now, when they do it as far as looking at something, it's to add perception for clarity. It's to see things clearly. So then I began to think about that. That's good for us spiritually. That we want to see things clearly. Perception for us is important. Have you ever thought about your spiritual perception? Now, as you can see, I have to wear glasses. I've had to wear glasses for a long time, like 25 years. Ever since I'm little, I've had to wear glasses. I wouldn't even know what to do without these things. I'm so used to them. They are a part of me. I'm very used to them. But I have to go regularly and make sure my eyes are examined. I remember going in to get my driver's license reading a few years ago. And they said, cover up your right eye. So I covered up my right eye. And they said, what do you see? And I had my glasses on. And I said, I see that I need to get some new glasses. Because I can't even see what you're trying to tell me. So, if we care that much to make sure that we can physically see, how much more then should we not care that we spiritually see? That our spiritual perception is where it needs to be. There is spiritual value to having three-dimensional faith. There is spiritual value to having a three-dimensional relationship with the Lord. Prior to 2 Kings 2, Elijah and Elisha, I'm overemphasizing so that way their names are kind of similar. And so Elijah and Elisha, they've had some significant spiritual encounters in the past. We first learn about Elisha in 1 Kings 19, chapter 19. Elijah is the prophet. He is the one that has been speaking to the nation of Israel. He's had a lot of things going on. He's kind of had a roller coaster ride of peaks and valleys. And God is speaking with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, a few chapters ahead. And he's giving him some instructions of duties that he wants him to do. And one of those duties is that he is to go out and find a man named Elisha and to anoint him as a prophet in his place. So Elijah finds Elisha, and he throws his mantle on him while he was plowing oxen, which stands out that to me. I read that this week, and I never thought about it this way, that all Elisha needed was for the man of God to come and to place a mantle on him, and at that point, Elisha was ready to lay down his oxen and was ready to follow the Lord. And he wasn't even aware of what was ahead of him. He wasn't even aware of what was in store for him. He leaves the oxen. He takes off after Elijah. Well, Elijah says to him, well, you can go back to your oxen. And that wasn't even good enough for Elisha. He removes that as an obstacle. He sacrifices the oxen unto the Lord. And from that moment, Elijah had a companion with him. He had Elisha with him. Wherever he went, Elisha was there. Whatever Elijah went to do, Elisha went along with him. He had someone to stand next to him who served the same Lord, who believed in the same God, and who loved the Lord. Elijah had Elisha. So he becomes a mentor to him. And the best way to learn how to do a job, I've always found, is not sometimes to get a book, but it's to go with somebody that's did the job. Somebody that's did the job has experience. So Elisha went along with Elijah. And he learned how to do the things that he needed to do. Now we come to 2 Kings 2. Period of time has passed. We don't know how much time has passed, but a period of time has passed. And Elisha's faith has grown. And Elijah's ministry is now about to take a detour. Have you ever been going along and life just looked like everything was just kind of going along steady, and then blam, God's got a detour for you. He takes you off somewhere that you didn't see coming. He takes you to a place that you weren't expecting, but you have to go because that's what God wants you to do. And God has detours for us sometimes. And sometimes do we see our detour and do we veer off and go the way God wants us to go? Or do we go head on and we crash or trying to do something differently? So as I began to think about Elijah and Elisha, here they are participating in three-dimensional Christianity. There wasn't even a term for it back then. They didn't even know they were doing it. And so something that we think that is new, 3D, oh, it's new, it's exciting. It's something they were doing 3,000 years ago. And they didn't even know they were doing it. They were living in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. For us to be spiritually successful, we need to take a 3D approach to our walk with God. It's simple, yet it's effective. We need to look at ourselves spiritually in three ways. First off, we need to look at ourselves horizontally. We'll talk about that. We need to look at ourselves internally, and we'll talk about that. And we need to look at ourselves vertically. 3D Christianity, horizontally, internally, and vertically. Amen. So let's look at these horizontally. And a question for you to think about. And this is the Lord's been working with me. And so I've been thinking about various questions. And then even the Sunday school classes I've been teaching, I've just been thinking about questions and writing them down. Think about this one. Do we demonstrate spiritual awareness? If we're going to live in a state of 3D Christianity, we've got to demonstrate spiritual awareness. I thought about this question. Are we aware of the things that we do and that they can impact others? Have you ever thought about that? The things that you do, great or small, big or little, they impact each other. We can positively impact others by our actions. That's a good thing. When we're able to serve in the kingdom of God, when we're able to use our talents and our gifts and our abilities, we're able to make a positive impact for the kingdom of God. That's a good thing. That's where we want to be. But unfortunately, sometimes when we're not spiritually aware, we can negatively impact the kingdom of God by our words or by our actions. I don't know about you, but that's a place I don't want to be. I don't want to be in a place where I do something or I say something that offends somebody or that sends somebody down the wrong path and that would cause them to look at God in a non-positive way. I want everything I do, and the goal of every believer should be that what we do reflects the light of Christ in our lives. Amen. It reflects a positive light and reflects positively upon the Lord and upon His kingdom. The idea of holiness in our lives is so important. Did you know that we have eyes that are watching us? We have ears that are hearing us. We are causing people to think and to do and to assess a relationship with God by the actions that we do. We have a 3D impact upon those around us by our conduct. Elisha knew a good thing when he saw it. When he saw the man of God coming, he had the proper perspective. And he knew that it was good for him to hook up with Elijah and for him to go with him. Have you ever thought about certain people that God brings into your life? That there are blessings all around. There are people that you come in contact with, that you journey up with, that you hook up with along the way spiritually. And you make a positive impact in their life. They make a positive impact in your life. In a crowd this number here in the church, I'm sure that if you sat and thought just for a couple seconds, there are a couple people right even here in the church that you can say, yeah, they've been a positive impact on me. They've influenced me in a good way, and I praise the Lord for them. Maybe it's Christian people in your family that you've thought that you can think about, that you can say, yeah, my aunt or my uncle or my grandma or grandpa or mom and dad or a sibling or whoever it may be, they've been a positive impact on me spiritually. They've been a blessing for me to be around. I hooked up with them, and it was a good thing. Sometimes individuals will fall into our lives just for a brief passing of time. We may only be with them for a few weeks or a few months, but they can make lasting lessons upon us. I remember my first semester going to Bible college. I ran into a professor, and this guy was an old preacher, and he pastored the biggest church in the town. And I remember some of what he said, but one thing really stuck with me. And we were taking a class, and we were talking about how to handle circumstances and how to handle things badly when they happen. And he left me with a piece of nugget of wisdom that I remember years later. I haven't saw that guy since. I haven't saw him in years. I just knew him for a brief amount of time. I knew him just for a short amount of time. But yet, the impact was positive when I walked with him. The impact was positive as I learned from him. The impact was positive, and things that he said still stick with me, even to this day. Elijah knew the situation of his circumstances, and he knew what needed to begin was separation. And so when we're aware spiritually, we're aware of when we need to stay close and when we need to break away. When we pray that God's will be done in our lives and we pray for wisdom, that's one of the greatest prayers that we can pray. King Solomon was able to get anything he wanted from God. He prayed for wisdom, and God blessed him abundantly. And so wisdom is a good prayer. Whenever somebody is looking for a recommendation on what they can pray for themselves, I recommend wisdom. You're looking for something to pray for tonight for yourself, I recommend wisdom. Pray that God would give you the wisdom to make good decisions. Amen. Pray that God would give you the wisdom to say the right things. Pray that in every circumstance and situation that you would let your heart be that you would let your heart be guided by the wisdom of God. When we look outside of ourselves, what do we see? Do we demonstrate a judgmental attitude to others? A horizontal perspective in 3D Christianity. Do we demonstrate a judgmental appearance or attitude about others? When we see others coming, do we release negativity with those that we come in contact with? Are we a pleasant person to be around? Or are we one of those people that when we start coming, you see the long faces come? And you say, oh, you have them. You know them. They exist. They're not pleasant people to be around. You see them coming up. And you want to turn and go the other way if you can without them seeing you. Amen. Good to be honest sometimes. Let's not be one of those people that people dread seeing. We're believers in the Lord. We're children of God. Amen. We should have an attitude, Amen. And we should be a person that's approachable. We should be a person that people want to be around. Amen. This is one that's hit home with me recently. We look horizontally. Don't take a minimalist approach to your faith. Have you ever thought about that? Don't take a minimalist approach to your faith. So many people only want to give God what they have to. If we did only what we had to when we went to work, we would be unemployed because it wouldn't be enough. If we did only the minimum with certain things in our life, it wouldn't be good enough. Meeting minimum requirements may be good enough in your car when you go to the gas tank to fill up. If your manual says you can run on 87, it's okay to only put 87 in. That's okay. It may be good enough to meet the minimum requirements to get a loan for your car or for a house. Or it may have been good enough to meet the minimum requirements to pass a class when you were in school. Yeah. But minimums are not good enough for God. No. I've been thinking about Amen. This all week. This has been burning my heart all week. Minimums are not good enough for God. You will be amazed at how rewarding your relationship with God will be. If you say, God, I don't want to just give you the minimum of what I have to. But God, I want to give you my best. I want to give you my best from morning to night. I don't want to give you my best just on Sundays or just on one day of the week. But Lord God, from Monday morning to Saturday night, every day in between, Lord God, I want to give you my best.
Amen.
God doesn't deserve your minimum when He's given you His maximum. Amen. Think about that. Amen. God gave you the very best. God has given all of us the very best in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why would we be content with giving Him the minimum? Amen. Giving Him the minimum of our time. Giving Him the minimum of our talents. Giving Him the minimum of our abilities. Why would we do that when God has given us so much?
Amen.
Do we have spiritual goals when we walk with God? You don't get to be where Elijah was. You don't get to be where Elisha was by just saying, oh, I'm just going to give God the minimum. I'm just going to put in my time on Sunday. I'm just going to put in my time on Wednesday. I'm not going to give God anything else. You can't get to where Elijah was. You can't get to where you're so close with God that you're just walking along with God one day and God calls you home and you don't even have to taste death by having a minimalist approach. That doesn't happen. Give our best to God.
Amen.
Besides looking horizontally, we've got to look internally. This is a hard one. It really is. We've got to ask ourselves tonight, are we the problem? Are we not living where we ought to be with God, and are we the problem? This wasn't the case for Elijah. This wasn't the case for Elisha. They had worked that out long before this. But you know what's good? Even if you realize tonight that you're the problem, the Cleveland Browns. I was thinking about them as I got to this point of the sermon. I watched the Browns so many weeks and I say we can't get out of our own way. Well, you know what? Spiritually, sometimes it's that way with folks. It's you can't get out of your own way. But you know what's good? Is if you realize you can't get out of your own way, God can help you get out of your own way. That's the best thing. If you identify yourself as a problem, you don't have to remain there. God can pull you up out of that. God can take you out of that. And God can make you better.
Yeah.
How do we respond to others when times are difficult? I thought about this as we take an internal approach. Notice verse 3. So Elisha is aware that Elijah is going to be taken from him. And so the prophets talk to him in verse 3. And they say, do you know that your master is going to be taken away from you today? We see this. And Elisha doesn't get a snippy answer. He doesn't get a snarky answer. He just says, hold your peace. Or which means, just to be silent. Elisha was going to go through a challenging event at this time. We talk about how great it was that Elijah had to go to heaven without seeing death. But then I began to think about Elisha's perspective this week. As he had to watch his men go up and be taken from him. And as he had to be left behind to carry on the work. Elisha was going through something challenging. And you know who he was going to need to rely on? He was going to have to rely upon God. The one that he could place his faith in on this earth, his mentor, was going to be taken away, and he knew that. And so this was going to be a challenging time for him. Elisha is already in mourning, even though Elijah hasn't died already, because he knows that it's coming. There is a period of loss, and grief is a hard subject. Grief is something that we don't want to talk about, and grief is something that everybody handles differently. There are going to be times in your life when you have losses. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to be doing good just to get up and go through your morning, go through your routine, and get through your day. Because death has come to your house, loss has come to your house, trouble has come to your house. But when that happens, do we take it out on everybody else, or do we take it to the throne? Do we take it to the King of Kings,
Amen.
And do we give it to Him?
Amen.
Elisha had to handle emotions that he never experienced before in the relationship with Elijah. Elijah would pack up and say, God's told me to go here. Elisha says, okay, good, let's go. Let's go do what God had for you to do, that He's told you to do. But now, he's got to experience something he's never experienced before. His friend, his mentor, this man that he's loved, that he's walked with, that he's worked in ministry with. He knows he's going to be taken from him. He knows that he's going to leave this world and that he's not going to see him down here anymore. And so Elisha has something that he's got to deal with. And I've been thinking, you know what, we're great about talking how to fix broken relationships. We're just not great about how to talk about how relationships end upon the earth. It's something we want to dance around. It's something we want to skirt around. But you know what, even the hardest topics are not too hard for God. Even the hardest emotions for us to face are something that's not too great for God. God's experienced pain. God knows loss. God knows all of it. John chapter 11, verse 35, the words of Jesus, when he sees that his friends died, when he sees what death has did by coming to the house of his friends, the scripture tells us that Jesus wept.
Right.
He understands.
Amen.
Just because we lose someone that is positive, that has a great deal of worth or value, or even that we know where they're going, doesn't make that loss any less real. Even if you lose a loved one, you lose a friend, and you know they've went on to heaven, there's still a void in your life.
Right.
You're still the one that's left behind. You're still the one that's got to deal with it. But you know what? You don't have to deal with it tonight by yourself. You don't have to let it come up on top of you, tackle you, and destroy you. Because we have God. We have the Almighty Father. We have the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings that we can take our problems to. God can supersede our grief. When we're at our lowest, when we're at our weakest, when we feel like we have no strength left, God is good, God is gracious, God is merciful, and God will carry you through those times. People that I have talked to, situations in my own life, when I have felt the greatest sense of loss, when I have sensed the greatest sense of grief in my life, when I have felt the greatest sense of loneliness, and I have turned that over unto the Lord. Now I look back, and I see what the cross has done, and I see it as my greatest victories. And when I talk with others, and I see what they went through, and I see how they overcame, and I see how they persevered by the hand of the Lord, it is their greatest achievement. It is their greatest victory. It's a shining moment in their lives. It's not how far down you are. It's where God takes you back up and helps you get through.
Amen.
And helps you to stand when you can't stand on your own.
Amen.
God is exalted when we pour ourselves out before Him. The biggest problem in our life might be ourselves. It might just be us. But you know what? The more humility that we show before the Lord, the more that He can be exalted inside of us. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase, and I must decrease. That should be the thought of the believer tonight. Finally, 3D Christianity, looking horizontally, looking internally, now looking vertically. Elijah and Elisha understood that their ministry was more than just themselves. They understood what their role was in the kingdom of God. Have you ever spent some time thinking about that? We all have a role to play in the kingdom of God. God did not just save us to sit us down, to give us no direction, and to give us nothing. Jesus said when He departed from this world, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when we pray, and when we seek God's face, and when we seek God's will, God will reveal Himself unto us. God has a work for us to do. God has a plan for our lives. And God will not leave us comfortless. God has direction for you today. God has a purpose for you today. God has a plan for you today. Elisha would have loved to have kept Elijah around for a little longer. But that was decided in heaven. And that was over. And Elisha recognized the positive force that his friend had been in the kingdom of God by the mark that he left behind and the desire that was pierced in Elisha's heart. The request of Elisha, as we read in verse 9, is from a vertical perspective. Think about that. That Elisha was so in tune with God that he had watched a man that was so in tune with God that Elijah says to him in verse 9, "What is it, Elijah? You're wanting something of me. I can sense it in my spirit. I sense that you need something. What is it, my son? What is it that you that have walked with me? What is it that you need?" And the request of Elisha was not meant to exalt himself, but it was meant to exalt God. He says there in verse 9, he says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." We must understand that the plans of God are greater than our plans. Every time I've tried to make a plan in my life, and I didn't include God, I can tell you what it ended up in. One word, disaster. It didn't work out because I forgot who my sole source in life is. Do we think of things in our lives without consulting God? Do we understand that the decisions that we make, that the things that we do, that God has a bigger picture of our lives and sees how the ramifications of today's events will affect us in the future? We can think that we identify closely with God tonight, and yet we don't really identify with Him at all. People mistake the idea of acquaintances for friends or family.
Yeah.
God was not an acquaintance with Elijah and with Elisha.
Amen.
They knew him on a personal level.
Right.
They believed in him and trusted in him.
Amen.
And put their faith in him.
Yeah.
On a personal level. Don't let God be an acquaintance with you tonight. Let it be that one that in the South, as they'd say, let it be your kinfolk. Let it be that one that would come alongside of you, that you trust in, that you rely upon, that you believe in. We may think tonight that we know about God, but we don't really know him at all. I read a quote. There have been many people that you can quote when you preach or when you give a work or whatever. And this isn't one that you would generally turn to, but I love what he said. I know somebody in this church has had to watch wrestling because I did as a kid. So you may remember him. He was a great heel. He was a bad guy. The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. And so after his career was over, he actually came to know the Lord. And I love what he says. He says, when thinking about his career and thinking about people's relationship to God, he said, "A lot of people remember my last match. They can remember what I wore, what moves I made, and who won. They know everything about me, but they don't know me." And he said, in many ways, that's how Christians are. We know everything about God, but we don't know him. Think about that. Know him as an acquaintance. Know him in our head, not know him in our heart.
Right.
Know him in our head, not live with him 7 days a week. Don't know him personally. Horizontal Christian living, internal, vertical, 3D Christianity. So what are the results of 3D Christianity? There are fantastic results. Look at verse 11 through 15 with me. When we're living where we should, when we're living where we should, verse 11 tells us, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan." Watch this. "And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, just like they had for Elijah. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. God allowed Elijah not to taste death. What happens when we live in 3D Christianity? We get to a place where we're so close with God that in the case of Elijah and in the case of one generation to come, as Pastor said, it may be our generation this morning, it may be another generation, there's going to be a generation that's going to go the way of Elijah, and they are not going to see death, but they are going to just be called on up, and they're going to be taken on out, and they're going to be in the presence of the Lord. God's favor rested upon Elisha. He was blessed with the double portion. His favor from God was noticeable to others. I love when folks say, "I want God's Spirit to be with me so much that others see Christ living in me." That should be the goal of all believers. That when folks see us, they don't see us, but they see Christ living inside of us. They see a change from the inside out. An internal change, a horizontal change, a vertical change. God's return for the believers and the resurrection of Christ resulted in blessing for us today. We have hope in the resurrection. We have hope. Just as Elijah went up to see the Lord, I know that my Lord is in heaven. I know he is seated at the right hand of the Father. I know that he went down into the grave, that he made intercession for me, and that now he has been raised up. He was dead, but now he is alive and he will live forevermore. He will not die again. I have hope in the faith of heaven. Every time I go and I stand with a family, every time that they tell me, or I have a precious soul tell me, "Yes, I know the Lord." And they don't just know him as an acquaintance, but they know him. They know him in the power and the resurrection and the Holy Spirit. They know him because they've watched God work. They know him because they've gotten into his word. They know him because they've known him by prayer. They have hope. And that hope isn't what is here, because our bodies will rot. Our bodies will decay. Our bodies will waste away. But our soul will live on forever. Amen. Our soul will live on forever in the presence of the Lord. Amen. One generation will experience what Elijah got to experience. The bliss of heaven without the taste of death. Yeah. We get ready to close. Amen. 3D Christianity. It enjoys the benefits that God has for you. Horizontally, vertically, internally. Right. Don't settle for a watered down faith. Right. Don't settle for minimalist Christianity tonight. This is a place where you can come and draw closer unto the Lord. This is a place where tonight you can say, "You know what? God, I'm tired of giving you what is left over. I'm tired of giving you just a little bit. And Lord God, I want to give you my best tonight. Because you gave your best for me." There's a greeting card company, and I forget which one it is, but their slogan was, "When you care enough to send the very best." That's what God did for us. He sent us his very best.
Amen.
And so why would we not want to give our very best back to him? Amen. Put on your 3D glasses. See the world tonight through God's perspective. You'll see it much more clearly than you ever have before. Let us close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. Such a joy, Lord God, to just stand and to proclaim your word, to proclaim how good you are, Lord God, to teach the truths of your word tonight. Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing. And Lord God, as you have pierced me, Lord God, and as you've worked upon my heart, as I thought about, Lord God, what's here in the scriptures between the relationship of Elijah and Elisha, and how, Lord God, their faith was so strong, so rooted and grounded in you. Lord God, I pray that prayer not only for myself, Lord God, of increased faith, increased confidence in you, but Lord God, I pray that for all over the house tonight, Lord God. May we finally get down to business with you. May we finally quit taking a minimalist approach. May we finally say that we're going to do more than just what's required. But Lord God, we're going to give you our best in everything that we have, that we're going to pour it out to you, that we're going to lay it down on the line, and that we're going to do everything that we can for you. Lord God, you have did so much for us tonight. And God, we lift up your name in honor and praise. Bless this time of invitation, Lord God. May hearts have been challenged by your word tonight, Lord God. It is your word that pierces. It is your word that makes the difference. And Lord God, I pray that we would not just be hearers of your word, but Lord God, doers of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.